Hi again, this is Daniel J. Hogan, and welcome back to the Magic of Erie podcast, brought to you by MagicofErie.com. Last time, our heroes ran afoul of the Sandwich. That's right, the Sandwich. A witch made of sand. After being forced to land, Roscoe, the rock lobster, hurt his wing, and Steve met a curious creature called the Paper Tiger. The gang was determined to continue on to Arx Aquila, but Roscoe's wing was damaged. Air offered to heal the creature, but Steve knew she was out of healing potions. She pulled out a knife and made her way to Roscoe. Spooky. You can stay updated by following the podcast on Twitter, MOE Podcast, or you can follow me at Daniel J. Hogan, and we're also on Facebook. You can also listen to my other podcast, Ginger and the Geek, at gingerandthegeek.com. That's weekly, and it's a talk show podcast, if you're into that sort of thing, but we try to keep it funny. All right, enough of that. On to the next wonderful episode of The Magic of Erie. Episode number 37, Era's Secret. Era lifted up her cane and grabbed a hold of one of the sides of the T-shaped handle. She pulled on it quickly, and part of the handle came off in her hand. To Steve's surprise, the handle was actually a hidden knife. It was not a fancy knife or very big, but it certainly looked sharp to Steve, and he wondered what she was going to do with it. Lady Pelican pulled up part of her poncho and revealed a feathered arm. Steve gasped when he saw it was covered with many scars and a couple of bandages. He gasped even louder when he saw Era make a quick slash against her arm.
What is she doing?
Thick liquid began to flow out of the cut. Steve realized that it was Era's blood. Her blood was not red like his or Zero's, or even Uncle Shameless's. It was silver, the same color as her healing potion. Era dripped her silvery blood over Roscoe's broken wing. Steve stared at Era.
What the...
Zeroth shushed Steve. After a few moments, Era dug out a bandage and wrapped the cut on her arm.
What good did that do?
Zeroth pointed to Roscoe's wound. Look. Steve studied the wing, but all he saw was Era's blood covering it.
It's not doing anything except looking gross.
Wait for it.
To Steve's amazement, the wound began absorbing the blood, and even more to his amazement, it began healing. Instantly.
How?
I say, shouted the Paper Tiger, who was equally impressed. You are a very peculiar pelican.
Era gave a weak smile and nodded a thanks to the Paper Tiger.
That's incredible.
Yes, it is handy,
Era said as Zeroth helped her down from Roscoe's back.
But it is also a curse.
Huh?
Oh, well, the Hawk King made it seem like a curse,
Era explained nervously, as if she had just recalled a bad memory.
All female pelicans have this ability, and many years ago the Hawk King had his minions capture as many pelicans as they could find.
Steve shuddered, knowing firsthand what it felt like to be chased by swarms of Fyakra's cronies.
That is why there are not many pelicans around these parts anymore. Those who could escape his forces went into hiding. He eventually stopped rounding up every pelican he could find. But the damage had already been done.
But why did he want all those pelicans? I thought he was immortal or something. He wouldn't need the healing potions, right?
I don't know. But there were tales that he needed our blood for some sort of spell or experiment.
Oh, what kind of experiment?
I do not know.
The pelican put her secret knife away before turning towards Steve.
Now do you see why you must fulfill the prophecy? Fyakra is mad with power, and who knows what unspeakable evil he will commit next.
Steve gave a weak nod. He looked down at the staff of Arcana.
But how am I going to fight unspeakable evil with an old rusty rake?
Don't worry, we'll work on that.
Roscoe roared softly and flapped his mended wing as he woke from his nap near the campfire.
Amazing!
Steve gasped as he studied the beast's completely healed wing.
I agree, said the Paper Tiger. But not nearly as amazing as me.
The Paper Tiger jumped up on his flat rear legs and gave a flat-sounding roar.
Rawr!
One of his paper back legs bent in sharply due to a gust of wind, causing the tiger to fall to the ground on his face.
I can honestly say, no one is as amazing as you.
So, are we going back to the desert now?
Uncle Shameless asked as he patted the side of Roscoe's head.
I think it'd be best to let Roscoe get some rest. Who knows what the Sand Witch will do the next time we face her.
I agree. We should all get some rest.
I like the sound of that plan.
Xeroth dropped a clawed hand on the boy's shoulder.
Not yet. You need to practice with the staff.
You want me to practice the ancient art of rake fighting?
Some other time, replied Xeroth, not getting Steve's joke. You need to think of other weapons. Real weapons.
Steve held the rusty rake in his hand.
Okay, so what should I do?
Just imagine something, like you did before, but try to think of a weapon this time.
Steve held the battered rake in front of him and kick-started his imagination, but nothing happened.
Concentrate.
Steve closed his eyes and thought hard until he felt the rake in his hand jiggle. He opened his eyes to find the rake had turned into something else.
Excellent.
Xeroth applauded as he studied the object in Steve's grasp.
But, what is it?
It's called an edger. You use it to trim grass along the sidewalk.
Oh, what's a sidewalk?
Like the rake, the edger looked exactly like the old edger Steve's dad made him use back home while doing weekend chores. It was about the length of the rake, and the handle was covered with a chipped green paint. Crowning the top of the edger was a heavy metal wheel covered with small, rusty, dull blades. Steve tried to demonstrate the tool's use on the ground, but the wheel would not turn because it was as rusty as the rake. Xeroth said as he studied the ineffective garden tool.
You might have been better off with the rake.
As Steve tried harder to think of weapons, or at least something more useful than rusty garden tools, Uncle Seamus stumbled over.
Roscoe says he'll be restless enough to fly in the morn,
he began to say as he watched Steve swing around an old shovel with a large hole in the center of the blade.
Boy, what are you doing?
Trying to get the stupid staff of our can or whatever to turn into something useful.
Fine, fine.
Steve closed his eyes again and thought hard, only to end up with the old rusty rake once again.
I give up,
Steve whined as he balanced the rusty old rake over his shoulder.
Fine, fine,
Uncle Seamus said in a cheerful tone, unaware he was repeating himself.
So, where are we going tomorrow?
To fight the sandwich again,
Xeroth explained as he searched his magical pack for cooking supplies.
Fight the sandwich?
Uncle Seamus asked as a vision of a mammoth club sandwich with a bad attitude filled his mind.
Yes, and I'm going to help, said the paper tiger.
I don't think I'll be needing any help for that, scoffed Uncle Seamus,
unaware that everyone was referring to the woman in the desert they had already encountered.
No, I should have hoped not. I manage to eat them by myself all the time.
Ugh. You eat sandwiches?
Well, yeah. Don't you guys eat them around here?
Certainly not.
Well, you should. They're mighty tasty.
How do you eat a sandwich?
Easy. All you do is you grab it with both hands and you pull it toward you. And you take a big old bite out of it.
Uncle Seamus acted out the scene.
Ghastly.
The paper tiger leaned over to Steve and whispered,
I say, is there anything wrong with him?
Do you want a list?
After Xeroth cooked a satisfying and filling dinner, everyone made camp for the night and tried to get some rest near the slow-burning fire. Roscoe's deep breathing filled the camp and rustled the nearby trees and bushes. Xeroth leaned against Roscoe's side, his hand resting on Gladius inside his cloak, out of habit. He was ready to draw his weapon at a moment's notice. Xeroth's hood was pulled over his head, covering his face with blackness and making it impossible for anyone to see if his eyes were open or not. Roscoe's gentle inhaling and exhaling soothingly rocked Xeroth to sleep. Just before he gave in to sleep's siren song, Xeroth felt the wind pick up around the camp. Xeroth rarely dreamed, but tonight, visions fought on the battlefield of his mind. None of the visions were clear, but they seemed familiar, but unfamiliar at the same time. Dark red flames framed the images as they marched past him like an army. Xeroth's body began to shake as he tried to fight the dreams, his unconscious mind trying to force him awake. Then came a ghostly, chilly voice. The birdman's eyes shot open as he jumped into a standing position, his body shaking. He did not see anything, he did not hear anything. But just as he began to sit down,
Xeroth,
Against his better judgment, Xeroth snuck his way through the camp. Careful not to wake any of his companions, he followed the voice to a dark, gloomy clearing several yards away from his camp and the safety of the fire. Skeletal black trees surrounded the clearing, adding to the spookiness of the situation.
Xeroth!
The birdman searched the clearing as best he could in the darkness.
What do you want?
I bring you an offer.
An offer? You woke me up and dragged me away from the camp to ask me about a job.
No. An offer for a deal.
A deal?
Xeroth called out as he spun around the clearing, chasing the voice that seemed to surround him.
I don't make deals with someone I can't see.
Responding to the taunt, a ghostly cloud flew by Xeroth and hovered in front of him. Xeroth's eyes widened, and he reached instinctively for Gladius as a pair of white eyes flashed from within the cloud of mist.
I thought you were dead,
Xeroth said with a crooked smile as Delu finished solidifying in front of him. The raven's body and clothing still carried the scars from their previous meeting, and the spy did not look fully recovered. Xeroth pulled out Gladius and gave the swordfish a quick squeeze, shaking the creature from its sleep.
Far from it. I am not here to attack you.
The raven held up his empty hands to show he was weaponless.
Then why are you here?
Xeroth snapped as he pointed the tip of Gladius's deadly tongue at Delu's chest.
The last time I checked, you and I weren't exactly friends.
As I said, I am here to offer you a deal.
Xeroth narrowed his eyes deep in the depths of his hood.
What makes you think I'd make a deal with you?
Because it concerns you and the formal hunter complaint, Form-TB.
The hunter instantly lowered his weapon and took a step closer.
I'm listening.
And that is the deal the Hawk King asked me to give you.
Delu wheezed in between sickly, wet coughs.
So, I hand over the boy, and the Hawk King will cancel the TB complaint.
Correct.
Xeroth rested Gladius's blade on one of his shoulders.
How did you even find us?
I am a spy. That is my job. Plus, you aren't exactly keeping a low profile with that creature.
True. Shameless can be rather loud.
No. The Rock Lobster. The Hawk King had his other methods and agents, too.
The Pyrex.
Cursed Xeroth. He earned a nod from the raven spy.
Why not just take the boy now?
I am not strong enough to transport him with me. The Hawk King also feared his blue heron amulet might prevent such a thing. The boy must come to Arx Venator. See that he gets that, and we have a deal.
All right. I get the idea.
Xeroth interrupted, having his fill of Delu's chilly, drawn-out, annoying speaking. Delu turned back into mist and quickly wheezed one last message to Xeroth.
Bring him to Arx Venator. No boy. No deal.
The unnatural cloud rocketed away through the night sky as Xeroth slowly made his way back to the camp. He gave Gladius a squeeze, retracting its tongue with a loud slurp.
Well, ain't you a piece of work? I knew you hunters were a crafty lot, but I would have never thought...
Say one word about this to anyone, and I'll bury you in the smothering wastes.
Terrified and surprised by the threat, Gladius became silent as Xeroth tucked him away into his black cloak. The next morning, after a quick breakfast, prepared expertly by Xeroth, everyone climbed back onto the back of Roscoe and readied themselves for another encounter with the sandwich. Except for Uncle Shameless, who still thought they were going to eat a giant sandwich. Zeroth and Steve held on tightly to the paper tiger so he would not be carried away by the wind as Roscoe roared and flapped his newly healed wings. They flew over the smoldering wastes for no more than a few minutes before the terrible wind that had preceded the sandwich's earlier arrival started up once again.
"Don't let go!"
begged the paper tiger as the wind roared fiercely all around Roscoe. Steve still did not see how the nearly useless creature was going to help them defeat the powerful sand-wielding witch. As before, the sandwich appeared before them, and her powerful gusts of wind kept Roscoe flying in place, no matter how hard he flapped his wings. A massive cloud of sand flew in front of Roscoe and formed into a giant version of the sandwich's face. Uncle Shameless studied the giant, craggy, grit-covered visage before turning away in disgust.
"Ugh, lady, I got one word for you. Moisturizers."
The sandwich's eyes narrowed, but Uncle Shameless continued his taunting.
"Seriously, lady, your face is grittier than the boy's mother's coffee."
"Silence!"
The enormous face bellowed. Sand and dirt was spewed all over Roscoe and his passengers.
"Ugh, gross.
You are trespassing,"
the sandwich bellowed as loose sand ran off the edges of the giant floating head.
Yeah, we know. You told us that what before.
The giant face paused and blinked for a moment as she was trying to remember the previous encounter.
"I did?
Yes.
All of Roscoe's passengers said in unison, sounding like a group of students being asked if they finished last night's homework.
"Are you sure?"
Come on, lady. There aren't that many deserts around here. Where else we could have been?"
"Just a minute,"
the sandwich snapped. Steve and the others watched as a pair of giant glasses constructed themselves of the sand on the witch's face, complete with glass.
"Oh, that's right,"
the sandwich exclaimed in a pleased tone as the recent memories came back to her.
"I remember now. The ugly kid with the weird crab bird.
Hey!
Didn't you get the message last time?"
asked the giant bespeckled face of the sandwich. She did not wait for anyone to answer before she continued.
"No matter. If I must cast you down once, again, so be it."
The sandwich began laughing her evil laugh as she surveyed the group once more and decided how to dispose of them. But when her eyes landed on the paper tiger, her laughter stopped.
"Zeus Talons, is that a paper tiger?"
The paper tiger gave a loud but flat sounding roar.
"Roar!"
Confused, Steve looked at the paper tiger, then back at the sandwich, as her previous expression of powerful supremacy changed to one of absolute terror. In a flash, the giant head of the sandwich changed into an equally giant hand made of sand, flew toward Roscoe, and grabbed a hold of him. The giant hand then hurled itself and Roscoe to the floor of the barren desert. Roscoe crash-landed in a giant cloud of sand. Everyone jumped off Roscoe's back. He was thankfully unhurt this time. Steve started brushing himself off and tried to get sand out of his mouth.
"Ugh, I'm sick of all this sand."
"Watch your mouth. Some of that sand you are spitting out was part of me."
"I think I'm going to be sick."
"Not in my desert, you ain't."
Not too far away, a mound of sand began to grow larger and larger, finally taking the form of the sandwich's body, complete with a bad posture.
"You may think you're clever for bringing a paper tiger, but it won't help."
"That's what I tried to tell everyone."
"I am all powerful,"
shrieked the sandwich with a slight hint of fear. She held out a hand, and a ball made of sand formed instantly. She then threw the ball toward the companions, striking Uncle Shameless in the chest and knocking him down.
"Hey, what's the big idea?"
Uncle Shameless quickly realized that for some reason, he was having more trouble than usual standing up.
"Help me, boy."
"Oh, for crying,"
answered Steve, as he began to walk over to his uncle. However, Steve soon found out that he could not move either.
"What gives?"
he said as he looked down at his feet and saw that he was very slowly, very slowly, sinking into the sand.
"Ha! Fool, you are caught in slow sand."
Don't you mean quicksand?
Not on my salary. Slow sand is all you get.
Steve didn't even want to waste the time thinking about who actually employed the sandwich, let alone how much she earned. He was more concerned with getting out of the slow sand. Luckily for him, the name was correct. The sand was pulling him down so slowly that it was barely past his toes. Still, the sand did hold him firmly in place. He glanced around to see Era, Xeroth, and Roscoe in the same situation. Xeroth tried in vain to flap his weak wings, hoping he could gain some lift. The only one who was not stuck was the paper tiger. He sat down on his haunches and began grooming himself.
"Nuts to this!"
spat Steve. Fed up with being stuck in the sand, he took out the Staff of Arcana and thought of his old rake once again. He blinked, and like before, the staff was replaced by the old rusty rake. Steve jabbed the rake into the ground nearby and used the leverage to free himself from the slow sand. He jumped onto a regular patch of sand.
"Hey, you can't do that,"
said the sandwich.
"Too bad, I just did."
"Why, you little owl, get you,"
the sandwich growled as she began forming large balls of sand in midair.
"What's stopping you?"
The sandwich yelled as she hurled balls of sand towards Steve. He dodged one, and then a second before swinging at the third with the rake. As he swung the rake, he had a brief flashback to a summer's afternoon, when his father had attempted to teach him baseball. To Steve's amazement, the rake instantly turned into an old wooden baseball bat. And as he hit the ball of sand, it went sailing back toward the sandwich. The sandy missile struck the sandwich harmlessly in the face. The pseudo-baseball was quickly absorbed into her sandy body, causing Steve to grimace in disgust.
"It's so great to see a kid using a wooden bat again," said Uncle Seamus.
This concludes today's episode of The Magic of Aerie. Please join us again next time. Will our heroes escape the wrath of the sandwich? Why is she so scared of the paper tiger? Will Xeroth turn Steve over to the Hawk King? Find out in the next fantastic episode of The Magic of Aerie. Help support this free podcast by using the PayPal donate button on the website or buying a copy of the original novel. Production date of this podcast was March 1st, 2011. The Magic of Aerie, the podcast. Written and produced by Daniel J. Hogan. This podcast was produced in GarageBand and Audacity on a Mac. Some sound effects and music are provided by freesound.org. Other sound effects and music provided by GarageBand. For more information or to buy a copy of the original novel, please visit magicofaerie.com or danieljhogan.com. And as always, thanks for listening.